This week, maybe the next week as well, I want to discuss the inyonim of the Yudim Gashrim, the physical promises that will of abundance that will take place when Mashiach will come. There's many things to discuss. Everyone is well aware of hearing different types of fantastic things that will happen when Mashiach will come. That a woman will give birth every day, the trees will give fruit every day, every single tree will be a fruit, so on and so forth. Just want to discuss, this specific discussion discussing particular youth and particular things that says will happen, but also discussing Dinyanam Bechal, what is the idea behind the youth and Gashim, his physical promises.
We're done with Eliyahu already?
We could always continue, but for now, we're not done with Eliyahu because it didn't come yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't start yet with Eliyahu. I mean, we started a long time ago, but we're definitely not done with him. But
Rabbi Sicha, this week is a Le'rov, a Le'milchama. Technically, in other words, people wouldn't need to worry for the pay their bills in a way. Le'rov, Le'milchama, that's the Sicha was printed this week.
Yeah,
about,
absolutely.
About Kosima, whatever. But Siddhis.
First of all, the whole Torah is full with Yehudim Gashmin. The whole Torah in general is full of promises of what you might call punishment and reward. It's a very fundamental aspect, one of the cornerstones, one of the Yisoyas, one of the 13 principles of faith, is the idea of reward and punishment. If you do keep Torah mitzvahs, things will be good. If you won't keep Torah mitzvahs, things won't be so good. Nevertheless, the Yehudim, the particular promises relating to Mashiach, are things that are supernatural. It's not just that things will be good and you'll have peace and prosperity and wealth, health, whatever you want, but it's a supernatural. The Yehudim Gashim that are given are supernatural. Now the reason for the before we get to the supernatural thing, the simple reason why the Torah, when the Torah promises all these things will happen as a result of the Torah mitzvahs, so the Rambam explains that don't think that this is the ultimate reward. Torah says you'll do Torah mitzvahs, you'll be healthy. Torah says you'll do Torah mitzvahs, you'll be rich. Torah says you'll do Torah mitzvahs, then you know all the things, the
wars and things.
Wars and right. In other words, not pshat that this is the reward for Torah mitzvahs. Because the reward of Torah mitzvahs, the ultimate reward, is Gan Eden, is the world to come. It's a type of pleasure that we can't even experience in this world. Rather, the purpose of these promises that the Torah is telling you is the Torah is telling you, if you'll keep Torah mitzvahs, Hashem will provide you with all the things that you need, with peace and tranquility and health and wealth and all the good things, in order that you should be able to do Torah mitzvahs, in order to keep you, help you do Torah mitzvahs. So it's not a matter that it's not that this is really a reward. It's not a reward. It's not a good Torah mitzvahs. You make $100, that's a reward. That's a reward. It's chah mitzvah. Not the reward of a mitzvah is even, there's no real reward for a mitzvah in the first place. The ultimate reward of a mitzvah, as Siddhas explains, is the tzav of the chibur, the connection you have with Hashem. Rather, all these things are not a reward in of themselves. They're there in order to help provide us with the proper surroundings and opportunities which help us with Torah mitzvahs. I would mention, those that want to delve a little bit deeper in this whole thing, that the emes, the Rebbe explains in a few places that even according to the Rambam, the Rambam uses the lashon that it's not soif matan scharon shomitz, as a physical reward aren't the complete, the full on reward of the mitzvahs. But even according to the Rambam, it seems the Rebbe learns that there's still, to a certain extent, you could look at it as somewhat of a reward. We have, for example, just to give a similar analogy, I'm not sure if the Rebbe brings it or not, maybe I think he does, that we have, it says, certain mitzvahs that the keren, the, you know, when you make a profit, there's the capital and there's the profit that you make. So the keren, it says that the keren of the mitzvah is the actual main reward of the mitzvah, will have the reward, and will be in the world to come. Okay, they say in the fruit, some side benefits you have in this world. those side benefits are also, you know, somewhat of a type of reward that they also fit into the category, the definition of reward as well. So the Rebbe seems to learn in a similar way that even according to the Rambam, despite the fact that the Rambam is very strongly negating the fact that the physical benefits are the reward of Torah mitzvahs, but there's still some element of the physical rewards that even will get, which although they're not the full-on reward, but there's still an element, a little bit of a schar. I guess.
The uftu is that all the hidden gashmius in a way that you pretty appreciate the Dvar Hashem to extend the penetrating gashmius, but then there'll be the gilui eir of godliness.
Right.
But the reward gashmi will be.
Yeah. What I might just add, you could see, because you also see that in the promises that you have for Torah mitzvahs, you could see certain things that push it, things that are necessary to be able to help you, provide you with the means and the type of mindset to do Torah mitzvahs. But then there's certain things that are left out absolutely necessary. They're more, you know, so a little bit together, schar already, a little bit more like reward for the Torah mitzvahs. So the Rebbe many times brought down the Rambam, the Yudin Gashmim are not the Seif Matan Shachar Shemitzis. The Rambam doesn't the Chlal get into the supernatural rewards that are the supernatural promises that are mentioned in a number of Midrashim. And the Rebbe says that the Rambam himself really says, this reason why I didn't get into it is because there's nothing much to elaborate upon it. In other words, the Rambam is telling you halachas. Rambam is telling you what your hashkafa, how you're supposed to look at life, how you're supposed to look at understand what is the purpose of Tehillim, what's the reward for Tehillim, it's the miraculous things that will take place. And Rambam didn't get into Tchiyas HaMeisim. Rambam doesn't explain what's the purpose of Tchiyas HaMeisim. And Rambam says, I have nothing to explain about it. That's why I didn't, whatever will happen, it's not negeya to understand why it will happen, what will happen exactly like this, like that. Rambam leaves it, so to say, as something which is, like I mentioned in the past, the Vodim HaStumim, hidden things which are not necessary to elaborate upon. So Rambam Bachal doesn't discuss the purpose of the super, the purpose of the basic rewards, we might call the natural rewards. That Rambam elaborates, understand, explain to us what we should understand, what is the point of that. Supernatural things Bachal doesn't explain. But it's moving the gam posha that you could go a step further on our own. The chayda we could say that the same way the natural abundance of physical things will be there in order to help us do Torah mitzvah. So too, the tkufa shni, the second period, which will be shini minhagi shalaylam, which will, things then will be even according to the Rambam, as the Rebbe explains in a number of places after tchias hamesim, second period, all these supernatural things will take place. So in Pashas, one of the things you could say is that when all these supernatural things will help us even more to Torah mitzvahs, you won't have, not only will you have an abundance of things, but things will be done in a supernatural way. That's one simple way of understanding. It will help us even more to do Torah mitzvahs.
How?
The treats. If
you walk outside and you pick up a loaf of bread, it's not just pshat that it only costs you 5 cents, but it means you just walk outside and you pick up the loaf of bread. So two things. First of all, your life was made much easier. You didn't have to go to the tailor to get your suit. You walked outside and you picked off from the tree. You picked off a suit. Your life is made easier. For Hashem, it's another nekuda here is, which is, I think it's mashma from certain places, that when you'll see the miracles that Hashem will do for you, that will give within you a desire even more to do Torah mitzvahs. Not only it's a way to make life easier, but in a certain sense, it's an incentive. It's like, it shows that the Eibusher is the Ava. The Eibusher is like...
Inspiration. More of inspiration.
Connecting with Eibusher. The tree alone tells you Shabbos.
That's the Gila Lakosha. I'm talking about the physical...
Yeah, but it affects you in your doing it. The whole world, if everything is Kamale, it gives you, it makes you go that direction also. The whole world is screaming on the Hashem.
Wait, without it, Dr. Rambam, since you got no headaches with nothing, since you free time, is Ladas Hashem Belvad. Okay, it's a little bit.
Yeah, that's one thing. So now you have, so in other words, when you discuss overall the meaning of all these wonderful things that will take place, you could either look at them, based on what I said, you could either look at them a little bit as the element of reward, or you could look at them as an element of making our life easier to do Torah mitzvahs, and as an incentive to do Torah mitzvahs even more.
Healing is going to be in the first kufa?
Huh?
Healing is going to be in the first kufa? Or the...
You're talking about according to the Rambam or not? I mean, the Rebbe says, according to the Rebbe, everything will happen, the Rebbe said that everything will happen right away. But according to the Rambam, yeah. I mentioned the past, according to the Rambam, the reason why people will be healthy, I gave once a share, the reason why people will be healthy in the first period is because they'll learn how to live healthy. Rambam says the reason why people are sick in the most cases is because they don't have a proper diet, proper exercise, the things like that, so we'll know how to live our life properly, won't become
it's
sick.
Indulging in the physicality.
Yeah, according to Rambam, that's the cause for more, for 99%, if you might say, of the
today.
Thing. Yeah, today you also have, I don't know, you have the
environment.
Environment is affecting the Talamites and the Rambam writes, sometimes a person like Mona San is born with a Baal Mum, or a face of a natural disaster that happens. But otherwise, Rambam says most problems people cause themselves.
So Rambam holds it's not something, it's not an S? It's just a...
What? No, I'm saying the Rambam, according to the Rambam, the fact that people will be healthy can understand it in a natural way. Then there's what the Medrashim say, the Eibush is going to heal everyone. But
healing.
No.
It's a healing.
The Rambam Kachzak is the second Kufa.
The Rambam Kachzak is the second Kufa. The Rambam Kachzak is the second Kufa. Mamish. Strongly. So there's no difference according to the Rambam. He holds that in the way. So everything that happens in the Gashmi is a good way.
There's much more to be discussed about the Yudim Gashmi that will take place. Which is, until now, I mean, the general way of looking at it all, that's going to be a special miracle Hashem is going to do, either to show His love for us, to get us, to reward us. But the emes, if you look in Sifrei Chassidus, and even in earlier Sfarim, there's a very strong emphasis on explaining and understanding the purpose of these physical, these great physical wondrous things that will take place, not just as a miracle that Hashem will do for us, but there's an inyan here, there's a concept, there's something behind it all. First of all, many Mefarshim, the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bechaye, and others, they explain a lot of these things based on the simple notion that many of these, that a lot of things, the way we have them today, were messed up because of Chet Eitzadat. So the fact that people don't live forever, the fact that we have one of the promises will be that when you walk outside, like I mentioned before, the earth will grow gluskois, the earth will grow ready-made food. It says fruits will grow every day on the tree. You'll plant a tree, the same day it will produce fruit. A woman will give birth every single day. So on and so forth. A lot of these things, the way the world was created, the Chatzilah was supposed to be this way. Have a good question. We'll mention speak about it in a moment.
Good question.
I hope I have a good answer.
Kain and Hevel were born
on the same day. Not only the same day, it was within an hour or two. It says, the Medrash says exactly the choice of when. Of when Adam and Eve was created a certain hour, I think it was an hour. So Mamela, in other words, they're explaining the not pshat that will be. So in other words, like this, the answer to the question like this: this, according to this explanation, we understand that if you look at it, that according to nature, really it's supposed to be that it should take a few months for the tree to grow. Just the Eibishter makes a maze that it happens right away. So then you could say, if it's a miracle, that it's not according to nature, so then maybe it'll only happen in Eretz Yisrael. But if you're looking at it... But if you're looking at it, that it's the reason why it's going to be this way, because this is the real nature of the world.
But it was Eretz Yisrael, Gan Eden.
Gan Eden was not in Eretz Yisrael. Gan Eden, no. Gan Eden was where the Dalet and the Hadas come out. It's somewhere near Bavon. Yeah, it's not in Eretz Yisrael. But it's not in Eretz Yisrael.
V'no Yitzam Eden.
Adam Rishon was created in Makim HaMizbech. Third Abishah took Adam Rishon and put him in Gan Eden. If you look in Sifri Chassidus, it says clearly that Gan Eden is a certain amount of miles away from Yerushalayim. It's not in Eretz Yisrael.
But really, I see that Eretz Yisrael is Bashan Chalaratis.
Good, but
Eretz Yisrael will be no Chalaratis.
Also depends. Which
fine, you're not Chalami, but what's the pshat in that? Okay, right. But anyway, so it, again, the answer to your question depends on how you look. But if you look at it as a miracle, it's not a natural thing. So a miracle, why should they should make a miracle for, in China that their food should grow every day?
In America.
Huh, in America. But if, so they should make the nitzim for the Yidden, so be Eretz Yisrael. But if the word is, that's the way the world is returning to its original nature, so then, it will happen throughout the whole world. The truth is, however, that if you want to get into Pilpul, the Rebbe himself discusses this, is that certain things that clearly says it was that way when the world was originally created. For example, that... yeah, certain things, but no, that there, the fetish it wasn't. They're messed up.
It
was supposed to be that the tree should have the same taste as the fruit. That the trees that was Naibisha.
Before
certain things,
before
example, it says they used to stone the ground, automatically it grew. That, it would happen right away. That happened.
The world alone. Was it like it was in its very essence? Was life forever? It was eternally life, and the Tzedas brought misses to the world. Without the Tzedas, there was no.
So the mashal, the fact that babies were born on the same day that he happened to Muchash, Cain and Hevel were born. If I'm according to Medrash, where they were born,
separate, and still, but now we're in the same time.
No, they
weren't twins. With him was actual twins.
Who said they weren't twins?
But each one came with a twin. And Hevel is another extra twin.
Who says it was?
So what's the extra twin there, Hevel? So how does it work?
That's like with the according to the Gemara.
It means that they were separate births.
But it was within an hour or two.
Yeah, that's not
true. Yeah. Could be each hour, that's what I'm saying. A pregnancy could be an hour.
Fine. Now, getting back to this. So, according to this explanation, it's not a matter of a schar it's partial. Once the world is going to return to its original state. The truth is, however, this answer in of itself is not always satisfactory because not everything necessarily was the way before it does. For example, it says that all trees that now don't bear fruit will bear fruit when Mashiach will come. Now there, the Rebbe points out in the same, there the Medrash mentions a few things the way it was in the days of Adam Rish. When it comes to the fact that the trees, all trees will have fruit, doesn't say this is the way it was in the days of Adam Rish. So Slav Dafka was the way it was before Adam Rish. Animals won't fight with each other, right? Many people say, the Ramban and others, they follow the same way of thought, that before Chet Tzedas, animals didn't fight with each other. The Rebbe says, the Rebbe learns that the animals were allowed to eat each other maybe even before Chet Tzedas. Chassidus, the Mitzvah Rebbe uses a lot this word, that animals before Chet Tzedas didn't fight. I'm saying, not necessarily according to all opinions, were all these things before Chet Tzedas. So the fact that the world will return to its state the way it was before Eitz HaDa'as doesn't necessarily, it's a very important and fundamental explanation, but I'm just pointing out it doesn't necessarily explain everything, doesn't necessarily explain many details. There's another Nekuda here. The Rebbe has a Sicha where the Rebbe explains what is the word? What is the point? Not what the point. What is Taylor trying to tell us? Famous Sikh Caleb Ramazan, Parashat Kukesai. What is the purpose of the Torah emphasizing, even if it's true? The Rebbe's question is a bit of a different point here. The Rebbe's saying, it's true, all these things are happening, but why is the Torah focusing on it? What's so great about it? Like, so, some people, the Rebbe, one suggestion the Rebbe mentioned is, Poshut, you need to excite us, we should be excited about Mashiach. So the Chachamim realized that you have to
things that relate to us.
Yeah. So you have to tell us things. Most people are not going to judge the Torah mitzvahs. We'll tell them about Gan Eden, the Lamaba, about Atzmus. You know, the Gashmi speaks to us for better, for worse. So therefore, the Pasha, the Chachamim, and the Torah is focusing on this in order to encourage us to keep Torah mitzvahs. But the Rebbe says so. The Rebbe doesn't like this word, that the whole reason why Torah mentions it is, I mean, let's say somebody is a tzaddik and he wants the Torah mitzvahs for the sake of the Eibishter, so the Torah is just speaking for those Jews that need this encouragement. But a Jew that doesn't need the encouragement, the Torah is not talking to. The Rebbe doesn't like this thing. The Rebbe has a very important and fundamental word. The Rebbe says, in explaining the idea of what it means that a Jew's life is Torah, the Rebbe says that when the Rebbe connects it with Parshas Bechukosai, that Torah, but the Eibishter says in Bechukosai Teilechu, if you follow the Torah mitzvahs in the way of Bechukosai, so then you'll have all these great promises, which a lot of the famous promises that every tree will give fruit and the animals will be tame and everything. A lot of it is based in Parshas Bechukosai. And Torah says in Bechukosai Teilechu, if you do Torah mitzvahs in the way of Chakika, Chassidus explains Bechukosai comes as Chakika, Torah mitzvahs engraved in us. And the Rebbe basically says that the idea that Torah is engraved in us means that Torah is our essence, Torah is our life. When you say Torah is your life, it means that everything, when you say Torah is your life, it means that Torah permeates you from top to bottom. You can't say if something only permeates our intellect, our emotions, but doesn't permeate our physical interaction with this world, our physical body. So you can't say that it's you know, that Torah became one with you. You might understand Torah, you might learn Torah, you might want to do Torah, but when you say Torah is your life, means that's the ganze mitzvah. This is who you are. It's automatic. Come to do a mitzvah, automatically, physically, you're going to do it. Your physical body is totally Torah is engraved in it completely. So Mela, the Rebbe says, if the reward for a Torah would only be spiritual things, so then that would mean that your interaction with Torah is in a way that also only relates to the upper part of you, to your intellect, to the higher part of you. So as a reward for that, you get higher things, you get spiritual reward. But then it would mean it. By the fact that the Torah promises physical rewards, physical benefits as a result of the fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs, this means that the Torah permeates you in everything. Beruchnis and begashmis. So now the reward for Torah mitzvahs isn't just limited to ruchnis, it also expresses itself in gashmis. That's the word to begin the sikha. But here the Rebbe says, the point that I wanted to focus on is on the end of the sikha. The Rebbe says a very, very fundamental nekuda. The Rebbe says, it's not pshat, and here the Rebbe says like this. The fundamental reason why all these things will happen is not just because, and here the Rebbe refers to the Eitz Hadas reason, it's not just because that the world, in other words, why now when we sow something in the ground does it take time to grow? Why now do we have difficulties, physical difficulties? So the way Mepharshim explain is why, because really the world shouldn't be experiencing these difficulties. Elamai, Chet Eitzadas came, and because we sinned with Chet Eitzadas, so everything was corrupted. Our health was corrupted, the physical fruits were corrupted, the length of life was corrupted, we have to, you know, we suffer from poverty, whatever, the physical health, things like that, all came as well from Chet Eitzadas. So now, when we're going to be Masak in the Chet, and we'll fix up the sin, we'll fix up the cause, automatically the effect will also be fixed up automatically, then all the problems will go away. So the Rebbe says, it's not just that Chet Eitzadas came along and made a yirida in the world, made the world, so to say, corrupt, made the world not able to function properly. And now, when Mashiach comes and the sin of Eitzadas is repaired, then everything will be repaired back. The Rebbe says, no. The Rebbe says it's more than that. The Rebbe says, even if let's say you wouldn't have Chet Eitzadas, this is the advice of what the Rebbe says, even if you wouldn't have Chet Eitzadas, still, there's still a bederech hateva, certain things, it takes time. When you put something in the ground, it might take time for it to grow, or other things. Why? Because Rebbe is like this, in order, why does something grow? Something grows because there's a dvar Hashem, there's a koyach haliki, there's a godly energy that's causing things to happen. The koyach haliki, the spiritual energy, is lamayla, is higher than the physicality of the world. In order for it to permeate the physicality of the world, there's a hishtalshulus. You know, we learn chassidus, things to go from a higher source to lower source, it takes time. So therefore, the Rebbe says, in simple atheist, that the gashmius is not one with the Eibishter. The gashmius is not one with the ruchnius. Since gashmius is not one with ruchnius, it's self understood that when the Eibishter is being mashpia, the Eibishter is giving us something to gashmius, and it's coming from the Eibishter, since the gashmius, so to say, is not in a revealed way, obviously. Obviously, the Eibishter is everywhere. I'm saying inside our perspective. Since the gashmius is not mamish one with the Eibishter in a revealed way, so there's going to be a process. It's going to take time. Not everything will be 100% perfect. He says when Mashiach will come, why is it going to be that when you sow something in the ground, is it right away going to grow? It's not just going to be a miracle, something to get you excited, a reward, or things will go back to its normal state, but it's something much deeper over here. Pshat is that then the gashmistika garden, the gashmistika seed you're sowing in the ground, will right away get its energy from the Devar Hashem, the Koyach HaLiki, the godly energy that's giving, making it grow instantly. Won't have to take time until the godly flow, Bruchnius, will be in the slavish, Begashmius, being clothed with Gashmius, because Gashmius will right away be a Kaili for Ruchnius.
Okay. So Nish Kilo Hashem created the world right away.
The Derech HaYelun, so this is always, is like from Yadr Olam to another Olam, there's a Tzimtzum. From one world, that's what Chassidus says, we're judged on Rosh Hashanah how much we're going to get this year. Every day we're judged again. Why? What's going on? So Chassidus says, Rosh Hashanah was Nimshach, Psamachos, Tatsulis. In order for it to be Nimshach from one to another, it has to go through all levels. So it takes a whole, it says, Al Derech, you decide to do something. But so you decide to do it. When you're actually going to do it, you're going to think it over and over again. And, you know, every step of the road, it's one, as long as it's going down through different stages, one, it's not completely one dimension. So there's always going to be some delay, so to say. So Mela, the Rebbe says that, you know, the Rebbe is being masked to us, that the reason for all these things, it brings out how then the Gashmius and the Ruchmius become totally one. The Eibishter says the one being all these things, the Gashmius will be a keli, will be a vessel for the Ruchnius, in a way that things will happen right away. You won't have to go through all the whole process that we go through today. And this is an outcome from the Avoda V'Yid. Now the Rebbe says, even if you do Torah mitzvahs, even the time the days of Mikdash, sof kol sof, the Torah mitzvahs didn't permeate mamish, the essence of a Jew, that, you know, that this just, you know, there was still a difference in the physical things and spiritual things. But when Mashiach will come, then we will be completely connected with Eibishter, you know, through and through. So then automatically it will be affected in the world. And you'll see that in our Gashmius, the Ruchnius flows straight through. Al Derech Zen, the Rebbe used in a similar way, what the Rebbe says in the Sikh, I hope I was clear on this. The Rebbe says, I mean, another sikha, the Rebbe speaks about what the Chachamim say, that when Mashiach will come, a woman will give birth to a child every day. See the Isha Shetelet B'chol Yom. And the Rebbe, in that sikha, there's a famous Samach Tzedek, it brings a man of the Rebbe, that he says that now it takes 9 months of pregnancy. When Mashiach will come, it will take 9 hours. And he explains the whole thing, the different reasons are really out for Kabbalah, that when the Neshama comes down, it's a whole process. Basically, the point is, in simple English, that now the process takes 9 months. When Mashiach will come, the process will take 9 hours. The truth is, l'choira, that's eventually it will take right away, because by other Merishin, it didn't take 9 hours. By other Merishin, it took 1 hour. But the way the famous Beer of the Samach Tzedek Rishem Dat Rebbe is, I will take 9 hours. So the Rebbe uses here the Lashon, the Rebbe says that the more, let's say if a person doesn't have, let's say a person is being taught something, if he doesn't understand. So you have to, if he has grub bekelim, if he has thick comprehension, so you have to make mishalom. You have to try to bring him down to his levels. You have to make one mashal and another mashal. You have to go 3,000 mishalom to bring it down to someone low. But if you're, once a person's intellect becomes more refined, he's able to pick up things more quicker, they don't have to go through so many mishalom. So the Rebbe said, did the same word that he's saying, I think it's similar word at least, more or less the same thing that he says here, that he says in that Sikh in different oasis. He says that now the physicality of the world is more of a thick lavush, a thick garment. So it takes time for things to happen. The Asul of Mashiach will come, the Gash will be much more pure. It's like somebody that his intellect is refined, doesn't have to sit and bring everything down with 55 mishalim from Tandasani. He gets it right away. So similarly, the Gash Mishalim will be refined in such a way that right when the Isha becomes pregnant, she'll give birth. It won't be a whole process. The Gash Mishalim will be able to right away chap the Dvar Hashem, chap the Brach of Eibush in a way they won't have to go through the whole process. So according to this beer, it comes out, it's not just L'tayelos ha'odam, that for our benefit, Hashem is going to make all these wondrous things to take place. It gives us an understanding and a much deeper way of understanding what the world will be like. It's not just Nisim, in other words, it's not just for us. It brings out how the Eibishter and the world will become united to the extent that the Gashmius will be a Kaili for the one. Today there's limitations, Mitmaisis, Mashiach will come, the Gashmius will be a Kaili for the Dvar Hashem.
9 hours, not 8 hours, not 10 hours, that's a different reason.
Yeah. But there's one more word to just finish off. Rabbi says, Asida, there's another Nukuda here, which Rabbi Dafka is saying much more, that Asida ha'orah shetaytzi guluskoi, he said the earth will give out things. Says, you see the idea of dira betachtoinim, but the physical earth, which is the lowest thing, will give out complete things.
The penetrate even that little.
It brings out, it's a bit different, I mean it's a bit connected, a bit different in the virtue, it's that it shows you how Dafka, the lowest, that Dafke in Gashmius or there and that's it. Dafke the edits, the physical earth, which is a tacht in the Yisr, the lowest level will be elevated to the highest point and will give out. Okay, fine.
Meaning nowadays it only gives out things that are not ready.
Right.
Islam is going to bring out things that are ready.
Right. And Dafke the edits. The Rebbe is Madgish. Dafke the edits. Dafke the lowest thing. Dafke the lowest thing. Here I'm saying that the Gash comes, the Ruch comes, the Gash. Here the Rebbe gives the edits. Dafke the lowest thing is going to. The edits will give out to
the fact that it's ready means it's higher.
So Dabar Shalim, yeah.
When you say it's the highest, why it's the highest?
Not the highest, but I'm saying it's
already, yeah, okay.
Shows that the Tachten is complete.
Jubil Lakus. There's no hell, there's no hell,
there's no hell, there's no hell.
Yeah.
The Rebbe says that it comes through that Veda and Eithan of Chakika, or the Rebbe says
that it's Mashra.
Yeah. Because all of
Rebbe is bringing out that it's Kiem Chayim.
Mumela, since Chayenu in such a way of Chakika, as a Mashma, no?
Yeah, that it's the during the Meshach Zman HaGolos.
He says, Mumela, Pia Moshe Mechei brings at the end the difference between Chakika and Zman HaBayis and thus.
Yeah.
So he says, Kasha Teremit is Nechkokim Bodem Yevra Leib, which is all Kol Etzim Shalei, there's a Chayder Upel Yevra Leib, Bechol Ke Chayis Yon of Ad, Bechol Ad Vodem Shabayman. The fact that Teremit has permeated his goof, permeates also his Gashmius Boilam. When his goof is completely one with Eimitzus, automatically his physicality in the world is his field that he's sowing is also one with Eimitzus. So right away it grows. So it's Mashmah, Rabbi Sikh. Let me share now.